So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Time for Dean Richards Entertainment News, sponsored by Walter E. Smith Furniture and Design. I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, all we had to watch was Tiger King, and we're still doing Tiger King updates in a way, aren't we, Dean?
Good heavens. I can't even believe that we're still talking about that, and that there is going to be a Tiger King 2 that's going to be mid-November coming up on Netflix, and that now has become the subject of a lawsuit. Carol Baskin, who was featured in the original, and apparently there was leftover footage from the original that they have incorporated into this new one, has set off Carol Baskin to file a lawsuit, not only against the producers of the show, but also against Netflix. She says she never authorized the use of footage for anything except the first season, and she's suing to get it stopped or to get a boatload of money. So we'll see what's going to happen with that. I'm just grateful that, you know, we'll be able to get back into the Tiger King swing of things.
Glad we have so many other things to watch.
I had forgotten that is that how that consumed everybody
right
at the very beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, we had nothing else to do.
One global crisis wasn't enough.
I was looking up at a monitor here in our studio, watching your Tom Hanks interview. What was all that behind him? Where was he? It looked like suitcases, typewriters?
They were typewriters. He was at his house. He collects manual typewriters. He got a whole big, huge collection of them and corresponds with people all over the United States, who are also into manual typewriters. Our mutual friend, the great Jack Rosenberg from WGN Sports, recently passed away, was corresponding with Tom Hanks. He wrote him a letter.
Jack showed it to me one day.
Yeah.
I know, pretty cool.
Wrote him a letter on his manual typewriter. Tom Hanks, responded, and the two went back and forth. I told him off the air when I interviewed him last week that Jack had passed away, and he was very sorry to hear that. He had some great conversations with him. But Tom Hanks is, you think you've got some weird stuff in your house. There must have been, 50, 100 manual typewriters in this
all
room.
Tagged and labeled.
Yeah, displayed. He's got them all on display. I was someplace over the weekend where they had an electric typewriter, and I was like, what's that thing?
Yeah, that's now an antique.
What is that thing? Right. But Tom Hanks has this fantastic new movie out that's called Finch. It's very much like his movie Castaway in a way, in that he is on the screen almost for the entire movie all by himself. And, I think that's the greatest skill that an actor can show, when he's able to bring the emotion, carry the story as effectively as if he were reacting with other cast members. Tom Hanks is so gifted in that way. And this is a very emotional story about a guy who's living in this post-apocalyptic world. There is some kind of global catastrophe which has happened, and he's all by himself on Earth. Everything and everyone has been destroyed except for a little puppy dog and a robot that he builds for company. And the story is about survival. The story is about the love of life. It's very, very, very moving. But that didn't stop us from talking about Chicago, because he's made many films here. In this interview, I showed him a picture that I have on my desk of he and I 20 years ago outside of Gene and Giorgetti's restaurant, where they were having the cast party for his movie, Road to Perdition.
This is what I have right here on my desk. I don't know if you can see.
Look at that. Where were we? Who were we? Ah, were we ever that young?
Those young men right there.
What year is that? What was the purpose for it?
That was the outside the cast party for Road to Perdition.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, sure.
I want to say almost 20 years ago. I just showed that picture to a young actor named Daniel Craig, who was, you know, I don't know if you remember him. He was in that movie also.
Yep.
Small role, but you've had many great Chicago moments here.
My son, one of my kids, took his first steps in Chicago, going back and forth between the coffee table and the couch at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel when we were making League of Their Own. You know, the first movie I made in Chicago was Nothing in Common with Jackie Gleason, and
right.
I had never been to Chicago before, and I had no idea where anything was in Chicago, because under Mayor Daley's reign, movies were not made in Chicago.
That's right.
It's funny, you know, I had never been to New York City, but I knew the Bronx was up in the Battery. I knew where buildings was. When I first came to Chicago, I said, I've never seen this place before. Now, you've seen quite a lot. I think the Blues Brothers, of course, said it there, and other movies like Steve McQueen's The Hunter. That was one of the early movies that was made there. So to be there, yeah, I've done that. League of Their Own, Nothing in Common, a little bit of Sleepless in Seattle was shot in Chicago, and, of course, Road to Perdition. Our kind of town.
It's so beautiful and so touching. And what you do just with the turn of an eye, with the simplest of motion, just touched my heart so much. So thank you for another amazing performance. Thank you for enduring this bad internet connection.
Hey, this is our lives now. We'll be okay, you know, with a little bit of luck and some good technology and not getting too disappointed, we'll be okay. Thanks, yeah. Dean. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
That's just a part of the interview that we had. You can watch the whole thing, WGNTV.com/Dean's List. We're going to play the entire interview on my Sunday radio show. I don't remember for what film it was, Bob, but one of the interviews, we were sitting around waiting for Tom to show up, and he does, and he's got a sack full of Italian beef sandwiches that he picked up at Mr. Beef on Orleans.
All right.
And he's tossing them to all the journalists. Sorry, I'm late. Here's an Italian beef sandwich.
He's the Jimmy Stewart of our time.
That is the truth.
Dean, why are they making a documentary about the Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction now? Doesn't that seem a little odd to you?
Yeah, well, yeah. It's, 17 years after the fact? Something like that. Not exactly timely, but they claim that they've got some footage that shows what really happened backstage, what really led up to the famous wardrobe malfunction from her and Justin Timberlake's Super Bowl performance, that they have people who claim that it was Justin Timberlake who was behind the idea and the execution of the whole thing. They're not revealing any details right now. They're leaving it in the documentary, but that is going to be coming up. Something else for your Thanksgiving viewing right around Thanksgiving time.
Get the family together.
Get the
and
family together
it.
And yeah, learn about the real, you know, the alleged real story of what happened with the wardrobe malfunction.
Michael Jackson's youngest son gave a rare interview. What did he have to say?
Yeah, he was every year. The children of Michael Jackson put on a big charity Halloween party that benefits climate organizations, charitable organization, the homeless, etc. And the youngest son, who has really not been in the spotlight at all, made an appearance at the party. But even more important than that, he gave an interview, which he never does. This is the son that was only 7 years old when Michael Jackson died 12 years ago. They called him Blanket at the time. He now goes by the name of BG. I certainly like BG better than the name Blanket for somebody, that's for sure. But he talked to Good Morning Britain about his father's legacy. He talked about climate change, talked about all those things. This is the child that Michael Jackson held over the balcony. Remember that
mm-hmm.
footage?
Sure.
Where he took his little baby, who was, I think, 9 months old at the time, and held him over a balcony of a hotel. He's now 19 years old, and It doesn't seem, you know, he seems like a normal 19-year-old kid. So I guess that's good, considering, you know, what it's like to live in that spotlight, I guess.
And now we get to Dean's edition for today of Celebrity Hate. And there's been a response from Mariah Carey, hasn't there?
Well, Mariah Carey, you know, her song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, might be the most polarizing song of all time. People either absolutely love this song or people absolutely cringe and they can't stand it. There is a restaurant in Texas that has put up a sign on their jukebox that if anybody plays All I Want for Christmas Is You before December the 1st, you're going to be wasting your money because they've rigged up the jukebox so it will not play the song before December 1st. And then the sign on the jukebox says that you're you know, the song's going to be omitted if it's before December 1st, and then after December 1st, the song will only play once a day. So you can play it, but just one time. They don't want to listen to it over and over and over again. To that, and then somebody posted a picture of the sign on Twitter. Mariah Carey now has posted that the war against Christmas has started. Leave my song alone. So,
all right, détente, people. Peace and love.
Can't
come on.
Can't we all get along?
Here's the Garfield story of the day. It's about Chris Pratt, isn't it?
Yeah, Chris Pratt's going to be the new voice of Garfield the cat in a new movie that will be coming out sometime next year. We don't have any audio, but I could hear that. He's got a good cartoon voice, I would guess, so I'm going to be sort of looking forward to that.
And let's squeeze in Jimmy Kimmel's annual Halloween prank on kids here, Dean.
Yeah, this is a tradition on Jimmy Kimmel Show the day after Halloween, where he encourages parents to video their telling their children that they ate all of their Halloween candy while they were sleeping to see how the kids would react. Jimmy Kimmel didn't do it last year because of the pandemic. He thought the kids went through enough. He also wasn't going to do it this year, but parents were sending in their videos anyway. Parents went ahead and did it to their kids anyway, and this is a little sample.
I mean, I got hungry in the middle of the night, and I went downstairs, and I ate all of your Halloween candy.
I thought you were on a diet.
You know who told me to do it? Jimmy Kimmel.
Is he a bad guy?
Mm-hmm.
Papa ate it?
Papa ate it.
He didn't get diarrhea. He didn't get diarrhea.
Got a future doctor in our midst, too.
Yeah. He's a regular Art Linkletter, that Jimmy Kimmel. Thank you, Dean. Talk to you tomorrow.